I think you'd all agree that this has been a pleasant and a very encouraging journey through the book of Ruth. I know I've been blessed through it as I've studied it and looked at it more deeply. See here, as we look through it, we see the wonderful picture of Christ, our heavenly Boaz, and that has been my desire week by week to lift Christ up, that he would be seen even before you as we look at the pages of this book, and especially at the life of this man, Boaz. Now, we're all very familiar with the fairy tales of our youth. Most of them began with Once Upon a Time and ended with They Lived Happily Ever After. And the book of Ruth, as it were, fits that thought this evening. However, we have not read a fairy tale. We have not read a fable, but rather this is the eternal testimony of the grace and mercy of God towards one who is undeserving of such mercy. We can't begin, as we look at this book, as we think upon our own lives, we can't begin to express our gratitude to the Lord for his grace and mercy, even in our lives, even here this evening. And we must surely, with the hymn writer, say, to God be the glory, great things he have done. The delightful ending we find in this book pictures for us the work of the gospel, which brings a good ending in the life of all those who trust in the finished work of Christ. There is a good ending. For those who are in Christ tonight, there is a good ending for each and every one of us. And here in this book, it was the work of redemption that has brought this wonderful, blessed ending we're going to consider this evening. Boaz, who in his performance as a kinsman redeemer, foreshadows Christ. Here he has redeemed some property, and with that property he has married Ruth, which produced a son, which brings this delightful ending here, even in the book we've considered this passage this evening. This is what redemption does. Redemption takes that those with a poor beginning, which we all have, because we're all born in sin, shaping in iniquity, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we all start out of that poor beginning. But because of redemption, because of our Redeemer, we can have a good ending. And here we see this wonderful ending. We see the birth of a son here in this union. And what a wonderful picture that is of the new birth of salvation. We see salvation written all over this. Salvation of the soul. And here we see what it takes to have a good ending in life. And that is to trust the Lord as our own and personal Saviour. Now, I can imagine the anxiety and the anticipation Ruth must have felt as she waited for Boaz to return that day. Remember, he'd went to the gate of the city to meet that nearer kinsman, the one who had the opportunity to redeem Ruth. And he went there, and she was waiting for him to return. And I can imagine her standing maybe at the doorpost, or maybe looking out the window, or maybe she was pacing up and down the floor, looking out, and every time she saw someone maybe on the horizon coming towards the house, she was wondering, is that Boaz coming? Is he coming with good news or bad news? And I can picture her here pacing up and down, and I can picture Naomi telling her, you know, Ruth, just settle down, relax, calm yourself. You're only getting yourself worked up. Remember Naomi's wise words in chapter 3 in the verse 18, how she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And here she has this necessary assurance that Boaz will do all that is necessary to redeem her. What a turnaround for this girl who'd left with nothing from Moab in a desperate situation. And here there's a man that will go to any lengths, whatever is necessary to redeem her. Ruth had been in a very difficult journey along this pathway. In chapter 1, we've seen her desperation in Moab. In chapter 2, we've seen her determination as she comes to Bethlehem. And her dignity in chapter 3 as she approaches Boaz there at the threshing floor. And now in chapter 4, we see the delight of being a wife as she's brought into this marriage union with her kinsman redeemer. In these concluding verses this evening, we find Ruth and Naomi happy once again. They'd faced devastation in Moab, but God had been merciful to them in Bethlehem as they come back, and now they're blessed again with a family. They're blessed again with a home. So as I said, I want to consider tonight a blessed ending. A blessed ending. Notice in verse 13, the grace demonstrated. The grace demonstrated. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Let's just take a moment to consider all that we've learned of Ruth and the adversity she faced in her life. She'd lost her husband in Moab. She'd made her way to Bethlehem with Naomi, a place she knew nothing of. And in essence, she was a Gentile in desperate need of mercy and grace. She was a stranger. But now she's a bride. She's the bride of Boaz. And this, it almost seems too good to be true. At first we encountered Ruth, she had little hope for the future. She had absolutely nothing. But God is working in her life, and in his marvelous grace he's shown to her, he's brought her into this relationship with Boaz. Would we not have to admit tonight, friends, that as we examine our own lives closely, our lives resemble Ruth's in many, many ways. We may not have lost our spouse. We may not have faced the financial or social limitations that she did. But we too have received more than we ever deserved. We have had this wonderful grace demonstrated to us tonight through the cross of Christ. When all was seemed to have been lost, when we had nothing, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we had fallen in Adam, when we were without hope to redeem ourselves or buy ourselves back from our depravity, God showed us mercy. God showed us grace, and he met our every need. God met her need here physically. She went from the poor house to the penthouse. She went from gleaning among the leftovers to marrying the owner of the field. And no doubt she wondered if she would live her life alone for the rest of her life. And then God steps in, provides this companion. And we see the wonderful provision even in the physical sense, how she's given a home, she's been given food, she's given all these things. And there's a wonderful picture even in the common grace of God. You see, every man in this world enjoys God's common grace. Grace has been demonstrated to each one of us because, you see, the sunshine shines on the wicked as well as the righteous. The rain falls on the wicked as well as the righteous. The Lord blesses the wicked with good health, with riches, with food, with provision, with jobs, with families. The Lord blesses the wicked of all these things in his common grace, just as he blesses the righteous. And she had received all these things physically. And see, man tonight has no right to shake his fist at God, because God has blessed him abundantly. God has given the very breath in his body. Without the breath of God, man is dead. And God can take that breath away at any moment. And God has been merciful to this world. But more importantly, God also met Ruth's need spiritually. She was a Gentile from Moab, one whom the Jews had no desire to show any compassion to. She was an enemy of the Jewish people. She was a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. And it's nothing short of a miracle that she was accepted and cared for, and that God chose to show her favor. We too, in our sins, were in the same situation. We were strangers. We were foreigners to the family of God. We possess no goodness. We possess no worthiness of his grace. Yet he chose to show us favor, providing for our redemption. And the words of Paul in Ephesians 1 surely come to mind. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. There's that grace again, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The grace that was demonstrated to her. And dear sinner tonight, there is amazing grace for you here. There's amazing grace to be found for you, for it is by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God has demonstrated his grace to you. You that were undeserving. None of us were deserving of his grace. And yet in his mercy and his love, he has shown forth this amazing grace through the work of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Boaz, our heavenly Redeemer. The grace demonstrated. But notice also the gift received. In verse 13 here, we see this wonderful gift She bare a son. Naomi had lost her husband and her two sons. Ruth had lost her husband. There were no children left in the family of Elimelech. The children were all gone. And this was of great importance to Ruth and Naomi. They desperately desired a son to carry on the lineage of the family. And God honored their desires as Ruth and Boaz were blessed with the son. And friends tonight, are we not blessed? Are we not glad that the Lord has given us a son? He's given us his own dear son, his only begotten, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah writes, Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We've been given a son. We've been given the Lord Jesus Christ because God the Father knew our need. He knew our need. He knew that his only begotten son was the only means of our salvation. We too were offered the greatest gift that was ever given. Paul wrote, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But the question tonight is, what will you do with this gift? What will you do with Christ? The Lord, as God has given us his blessed son. He's given him as a redeemer to rescue us, to save us from our sin. But what will you do with him? Will you receive him? Or will you reject him? You know, there are only two places in the book of Ruth where we're told explicitly that God was active. He was active, we're told, in giving Israel a harvest, visiting the people in Israel and giving them food. Read that in chapter 1 and verse 6. At the end of verse 6, read there, for she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. God was active. He visited them and given them bread. And here he's active again in giving Ruth and Boaz a son. There in verse 13, the Lord gave her conception. The Lord was active. He was active here. He's active in blessing Boaz and Ruth with a child. There's a blessing for Boaz and there's a blessing for Ruth. She discovers firsthand. Remember that word we used at the very beginning of the series? That word Chesed, which means favor or grace. And the Lord here has given her favor. He's given her this son. He's given her this blessing of a son. Another Hebrew word that is used here is the word shuv, that means to return or to turn back or to restore. And by giving her a son, he's restoring to her, as it were, a family. God's intention was to restore what was lost to her, just as God's intention to us is to restore to us what is lost by our sin. That's why we speak of being born again. We are regenerated. We're born again by the Spirit of God. We're given a new life because we're new creatures in Christ. The Lord restores all that we lost in our sin. The Lord gives us new life. And here the Lord gave them new life. This was a picture of the new life, this son that was born to them. What a picture even of salvation. You know, one of the many images in the Bible of the Lord is the image of the image of the potter who takes that clay and he molds it into that image that he has created in his mind. And sometimes that clay has been marred and spoiled, and the potter takes that clay and he reworks it. He breaks it down and he molds it and reworks it. And what a picture even of the sinner tonight. The Lord takes that thing that was marred by sin, that thing that was cracked, that thing that was broken, and he takes it and he works it on his wheel, as it were, and he molds it and shapes it into the image of his own dear son as we're born again and made anew in Christ. What a wonderful picture here of this wonderful gift she had received. The Lord opened her womb. She had come to follow the God of Israel. She had left her home. She had left her family. She had left everything that was familiar to her. And she committed herself to the loyalty to the God of Israel. And the Lord had taken her into that family, to that marriage to Boaz. What an amazing thing God does for strangers. What an amazing thing that God takes hell-deserving sinners, those that hate him, those that are his enemies, and how he takes them into union with his own precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ, redeems us, buys us back, and no longer strangers, but brings us into the family of God, and not just save us, but adopt us as his own dear children. What a wonderful thing that is. We are far away from God in our sin. We are haters of God. Oh, we might not admit it. And even those in their sin tonight would never admit they hate God. But by despising his dear Son, they are showing the true bent and bias and inclination of their heart. Because see, the heart is wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And man, in the depths of his depravity, he's a hater of God. He's a hater of Christ. And here the Lord has taken this woman, and he's taken her into his family. He's made her a part of the children of Israel, a part of the family of God in the Old Testament. And he's worked in her life, and he's brought her in as a stranger. She's no longer a stranger. She's married to the kinsman redeemer. She's in that union, and that union will never be broken. Again, we think of the language Paul used in Ephesians. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. We were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and yet he took us and quickened us together in Christ, brought us into that family. This gift of a son was just the blessing that Boaz and Ruth needed. Just as the Son of God coming to this earth, being born in Bethlehem, taking on human flesh, living a perfect, sinless life, going to the cross of Calvary, dying an atoning death on behalf of his people, that was just what we needed. That was the blessing that we needed. That's what we need to be blessed tonight. We need the Son of God, the gift that she received. But notice something else. Notice the glory expressed. The glory expressed. The son that Ruth bore to Boaz was named Obed by neighbours of Ruth there in verse 17. The woman, her neighbours, give it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. As we will discover, this birth of Obed, was significant in the life of his family and all the following generations. His name means worshipping. And with the birth of Obed, there was a season of worship and rejoicing. And these verses reveal the admiration that those who knew Naomi here and her situation had for the Lord. And they were aware of the significance of Obed's birth and how that God would use him. In their conversation concerning Obed, we see the worship of the Lord there in verse 14. The woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. These women prayed that God would raise up Obed and make a mighty man of him. Now, they had no idea how God would do this, but we cannot overlook the fact that they gave God the glory in all of this. Their focus was on the Lord in all of this. They blessed the Lord for bringing this marriage together, for bringing this child into this family. They were acknowledging the blessings of God in it all. And we need to be reminded tonight, friends, that in all our blessings of life, we need to remember that God deserves all the glory. God deserves all the praise. All that we have or ever hope to have is a direct result of the goodness and mercy of God. He alone is responsible for all that we enjoy tonight. And these women worship the Lord for his blessing upon this family. You see, apart from the Lord, we're absolutely nothing. And James tells us that, James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. John's Gospel 15 verse 5, the Lord said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And let's be careful, friend, to whom we offer our praise. Let us strive to bring glory to the name of Christ. And their glory was focusing on the grace of God. Because it said, which have not left thee this day without a kinsman. That word kinsman in the sentence is the Hebrew word goel, which means redeemer. And praise is given for the fact that Naomi had a kinsman who could redeem her a Redeemer property, provide a son through the kinsman Redeemer, so that their name, their seed would live on, their name would live on. And this blessing again reflects the gospel blessing tonight. For God, through the gospel, provides a Redeemer for sinners. And as Naomi was not left without a kinsman Redeemer, so too we have not been left without a Redeemer. God has blessed us, and we ought to give glory to the Lord for the Redeemer he sent from the foundation of the world, read in Revelation 13 and 8, so that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend tonight, let me say to you, you have no excuse. There's no excuse for you going to hell. If you end up in a lost sinner's hell, you can never point the finger at God. Because the Lord has sent a Redeemer. The Lord has sent a kinsman, one that can rescue you, one that can redeem you from your sin. And God has not left men without a Redeemer. The problem is, most men do not want Christ. Oh yes, men want to go to heaven. But they're not willing to go to heaven God's prescribed way. They're not willing to go to heaven via the cross. They want to go to heaven their own way. But the Lord said there's only one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, have borne him. Naomi and Ruth no longer lived without a son to care for them and carry on the family lineage. He would be there to care for them in their old age. They were no longer dependent on the kindness of strangers because they now have a family to care for them. God had made provision for their lives. Now we ought to rejoice and praise God for the provision he has made for us as well. He's given us one who will care for us, one who will provide for us, one who's provided for us in salvation, and one who will provide for us through the rest of our life, even to old age. Even to old age. Because Christ our Saviour is certainly the restorer of our life and nourisher of thine old age. In other words, when you're saved, you'll never be lost. Because we're quickened together, we're made alive in Christ. And we're saved for all eternity. Even to old age, even to the very end of our life, is a picture here of the one, the Son, that would nourish them, would keep them, would watch them, would preserve them even to the end of their life. And praise God, we have one. We have a Redeemer who will lose none for whom he died for. We have one who said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're saved for time and for eternity. One may be old in this life in terms of years on earth, but salvation through Christ will nourish that person's soul forever until they reach even glory. And God would use Obed here to care for them, to preserve them all their life. He'd be a nourisher of their old age. And they had this assurance, they had this knowledge that he would be there. He would protect them and preserve them. And what a wonderful picture we have even through Christ. He who is near to us to provide our daily needs. He who will never leave us nor forsake us. We can rest assured of his continual presence. We have the assurance of knowing that when our time comes to die on this earth, that he will lead us through the gates of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he'll be there. Obed, here's a picture, even of Christ, who will guide us and lead us and be with us, even to the very end, and be a nourisher of our life and the restorer of our life. Verse 16, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. I'm sure there are many days after Naomi had left Moab that she felt alone. She felt desperate. She felt that she had no one left in life. Her husband was gone. Her sons were gone. Her daughter-in-law had left her. She just left with Ruth. And she probably never thought she'd ever have another child again, a grandchild even. But then picture this scene here. As Naomi takes this child and lays it in her bosom. Remember how she came back from Moab and she said, call me Mara because I'm bitter. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. And she had that thought of that bitterness in her heart. That lingering, what she'd lost, what she'd left all behind. The Lord had taken from her because of her sin. And she'd lost it all. And now we have this picture here. She came back, she was empty. She cried, I'm empty, I've nothing, my hands are empty. Now you have this picture. Here she nurses this little child, cradles this child in her arms. What a blessing that is to this woman. This woman who had nothing, this woman who was bitter, her hands were empty, and now her hands are full, literally. The Lord has blessed her. They're full of this little baby. As she takes that baby, and as she cares for that baby, and as she becomes the nurse for this baby, she looks after this baby. So she ends up at the end of this story with her hands full. The beginning of the story, her hands were empty, she had nothing. But now we come to the end of this story, and we have this blessed ending, as her hands are full once again. What a picture. Remember, Naomi is that picture of the backslider who went off to Moab. She came back bitter. We have that picture of the bitterness of sin. If you drift from God, if you fall into sin and go into Bypath Meadow, you will end up bitter. And she came back bitter. She came back empty. But here the Lord, as it were, restores unto her the years the locusts have eaten. Here's the backslider, as it were, being restored and being blessed again of the Lord, as the Lord places in her arms a little beautiful grandchild. Oh, she'd lost her son, she'd lost all, but here she has this little child, this bundle of joy. What a blessing this was to this woman. The glory expressed, but notice finally, the generations fulfilled. The generations fulfilled. The significance of this son, Obed, is not limited to the climax just of this story. This book is not just a heartwarming story of how Ruth found the man of her dreams. The author does not leave the story there, but begins to shine some light into the future centuries by this genealogy table here before us in the verses 18 to 22. And although we read nothing noteworthy of any acts that Obed does in the rest of the Old Testament, his birth is very important because of his descendants. We read of them there. And even in verse 22, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And sometimes, as I've said before, we often overlook verses like this. We don't think there's much benefit in them, but there's something very significant even in these verses. We see the providence of God written all over them. As we have considered already, this seemed like a very unlikely outcome to what appeared a dead-end situation at the beginning of the story. One would never have expected to have things to turn out the way they did. But that is very much the beauty of this story of Ruth. There was no accidents. This was the providence of God. God working behind the scenes, moving one piece this way and one piece that way, and moving all these things in different directions and bringing all these things together because he had a plan. God had a plan, and Ruth was blessed to be part of that plan. And we can rejoice, friend, in the providence of God. And we may not always see what God is doing. We don't always understand, as we considered this morning, don't always understand why God does things. They don't seem fair. They don't seem right. And in our own wisdom, we think God is making a mistake. But friends, in the providence and the wisdom of God, he was working all these things out perfectly. Because he had a plan. And this preparation he was making here in this plan, we see that Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. That is King David, the great ruler of Israel, the one whom the Lord would eventually be born into his lineage. And God had shown mercy to a Gentile woman, but he had a far greater plan in mind. It wasn't just about saving this woman from her destitute and her poor estate that she found herself in, but he had a greater plan in mind. This woman was going to be used to bring forth, as it were, the birth of Christ further down the line. He was making preparations for the birth of a son, and that's the real wonder in the story of Ruth, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, comes from her life. It's a very, as you read this book, as you gaze upon Boaz, as you get the picture of Christ, it's a very precious, precious story even to the child of God tonight. As you think upon the Redeemer, as you think upon what Boaz went through to redeem Ruth, you picture what Christ did for us. You see, Boaz, this very personal, loving, motivated, highly charged affection that he had, driving him in his willingness to do anything anything that was necessary to pay the price that was needed to rescue and redeem Ruth. That's the picture of Christ. Christ has done all that for us. He was personally and lonely motivated and willing to do anything. Whatever was necessary, Christ did it to save us. That's why the Shorter Catechism says, who is the only redeemer of God's elect? The answer is, the only redeemer of God's elect is Jesus Christ. He is our heavenly Boaz. He is our kinsman redeemer. And it's in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And it's likely Ruth never realized the great significance of the birth of her son. But God used her. God used her in the most wonderful way to make preparation for a son to come as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Well, we have concluded our study in the book of Ruth, and it's been a wonderful testimony to the grace and mercy of God and the hope that we have even in him. And if God could save and bless Ruth, he can save and bless anyone. 10 years have been a disaster. 10 years in Moab had been a disaster for this family. And yet just a few months in Bethlehem had proved the never-ending faithfulness of God. He'd brought triumph out of tragedy. He'd brought delight out of despair. And Ruth, in her loneliness and her desperation and poverty as a widow, had found love and rest and wealth and hope. She does not need any more to glean in that field because her husband now owns the field. And all these blessings in her life come through the marvelous providence and grace of a loving God. Dear friend, tonight, even though this wonderful story is thousands of years old, the God of this story hasn't changed. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. The Redeemer of the story has not changed. Jesus Christ is him yesterday, today, and forever. And there's still hope to be found in the kinsman Redeemer tonight. If you've never met him, if you've never met the heavenly Boaz, if you've never trusted him as your own personal Savior, you've missed the greatest blessing known to man. And friend, tonight, if you don't know him as your Savior, you will not have a blessed ending. You see, this is they lived happily ever after ending. But friend, your life story, when it comes to the end of your life, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, there'll not be a happily ever ending to your life. But rather, it'll be a life of pain, destruction, and the wrath of a holy God as he pours out his wrath upon you for eternity in hell. It'll be an ending of judgment. It'll be an ending of pain. It'll be an ending of separation from God and a separation from your loved ones. It'll be anything but a blessed ending. But rather, it'll be a very solemn ending, a very sad ending. And you know what the saddest thing about it will be? Is that you knew. You knew the way to have a happy ending. You knew the way to have a blessed ending. You knew that if you had trusted Christ as your Savior, you would not have ended up in a lost sinner's hell, but rather you would be in glory with the blessed Redeemer. Friend tonight, make your life a blessed ending. When you end this life, when you breathe your last breath, maybe your last breath on earth be praising your heavenly Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Oh, Ruth here started out with nothing, absolutely nothing. She didn't deserve mercy, didn't deserve any grace, didn't deserve anything from Boaz. She was a stranger, a foreigner from a pagan land, separated from the people of God, just like sinners are tonight. But yet at the end of this story, she's been brought into that family. She's welcomed as part of that family, part of the family of God. And dear sinner, tonight you can leave this meeting no longer a child of the devil, because if you're not saved tonight, the God of this world is your father. The scriptures teach that. If you're not saved tonight, you're under the rule and authority of the devil. And you do his bidding. You do what he tells you. You're under his authority. But friend, you can leave this meeting tonight brought out of that prison house of sin, brought out of your bondage, brought into the family of God, redeemed, given a new life, given a new heart, a new beginning, and experience the blessings of what it is to be in the family of God. Oh, I pray tonight the Lord will speak to your heart as we conclude this meeting, as we conclude this series. I pray tonight you will get a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll get a vision of the heavenly Boaz, the one who has done all that is necessary. He's given his very life that you might be redeemed. Give us all that you might be blessed with a happy ending. What will it be for you tonight, friend? Will you repent and trust in Christ? Or will you reject him once again? What a sad ending that will be for you if you die in your sin. Lord, bless his word again to our hearts this evening, and even speak to each of us, we pray. Let us close our meeting. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for even the blessing, Lord, of considering once again the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We sought to lift Christ up in this meeting. We sought to point sinners to Christ. We pray, Father, even this evening, that it will be a blessed ending for all in this meeting, all who tune in online, that they will come to that point in their life where they realize that they're hopeless. Without Christ, they have a hopeless end. But praise God, with Christ, we have an endless hope. Oh, Father, we pray you'll write thy word upon hearts this evening, that even as the voice of the preacher has grown silent, that thou wilt speak on, thou wilt give no rest, no peace, until the sinner makes their peace with thee. O Father, bless us. Keep your hand upon us throughout the rest of this week. Do our souls good in thy service. We pray and ask all this in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.